Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Outrage addiction just makes us all stupider, and it prevents us from being able to understand key distinctions, prevents us from being able to properly analyze and interpret very simple concepts that are in front of us.
That's why I think it's so sad that patriarchy has become a bad word. God is our Father. No one understands the importance of fathers better than Christians, we who have God as our Father.
At least in American evangelicalism, there is this idea that the Holy Spirit works only through spontaneity. You got to be making it up on the spot, or else it's not spiritual. The Holy Spirit apparently only works through improv.
Farmers in South Dakota listen to Issues Etc. .org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
If the proverbial aliens from outer space orbiting our planet were observing the goings-on in the human race, and they were to ask the question, well, what kind of religions does this species inhabiting this planet practice? They would look from the distance, and they might see a few churches here and there. Of course, their churches, what they might see is something bigger and grander than churches. In many of the cities, they'd see field after field where people assemble, not only on a weekly basis, but on a daily basis, people in the hundreds and sometimes in the thousands or tens of thousands. They would monitor our broadcasts, and they would realize that these events were being broadcast all over the world, enthusiastically followed, that there were all kinds of rituals and ceremonies attached to them. They would look down and they would see how much of our time we spend on a weekly basis engaging in either observing or participating in these activities. They would certainly conclude that one of the major religions on planet Earth is, well, they might even call it athletica. Sports would be the major religion in terms of the time that it asks of us, the resources, the discipline it requires of us, and how willingly and voluntarily we throw ourselves into it, not only as participants, but as observers as well. It's true. Sports has become religion for us. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about athletica, sports as religion. Heather Smith will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. We're going to spend some time with Dr. Joel Olowski, remembering 6th century Emperor Justinian, known not only for his famous code for the Eastern Empire, but also for spearheading the fight against heresy, not just one heresy, but several heresies in the course of his time as emperor of the Byzantine Empire. Dr. Carl Fakencher will join us to look forward to Sunday morning. According to the three-year lectionary, we'll be headed toward the gospel reading, the parable of the talents, a very important parable in Jesus' mind, often misinterpreted. Why is that man who's given one talent but does nothing with it except bury it? Why is he cast out entirely? And why are the other two men who are given, well, not so much many more talents, why are they commended and given even more in the end? Is this a parable about some or not enough, or is it a parable about all or none? We'll be talking about that parable with Dr. Carl Fakencher in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about sports as religion, athletica, Heather Smith, a Lutheran pastor's wife, a contributor to the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Inside America's Largest Religious Revival You Know Nothing About. Heather, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
If athletica, as you call it, is in fact a religion, who are its most ardent devotees, the players or their parents?
You know, I don't think it's an either or. I think that if we think of it as a religion, one of the things that's astonishing is it's very good at bringing all generations together so that parents, children, grandparents, all the generations really share a devotion together. And, you know, in some cases it may be parents that push it more than children, but I think that that really binds together the generation.
You talk about it being kind of an all-consuming religion, that its devotees are willing to sacrifice, as you say, almost limitlessly where their dedication to this faith is concerned. Money, time, health, and even family may all be expended for the sake of bettering oneself within Athletica. Beginning with time, what kind of time does it require, this religion, Athletica?
Well, I think that whether it requires watching games on Sunday afternoon on television or competing headed towards the Olympics and, you know, competing morning and evening 7 days a week, the key is that these things all require people to completely orient their day or their week around those events. And they're willing to do that so that everything else takes second place after that, which is very telling, I think.
So how much time is often devoted to this?
Well, I think for those who are participating in sports, certainly I've seen articles relating how more and more time children are pushed to spend in sports, to focus on certain sports and skills. As previously being a teacher, I saw students that were certainly had practices daily after school, and then they would be gone on the weekends for events. So I think it's easily a couple hours a day for someone that's just sort of involved in participating in sports for enjoyment. And it certainly could be more depending on what their aims are.
Talk about how Athletica begins its inculcation at the earliest ages.
Well, I think that this is something where it is part of a family culture. You know, it's not unusual for us to see people buy the cute little onesie with their favorite sports team on it for the newborn baby. And while there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, it's a way of thinking that this is part of who we are. It's part of our identity. And children notice what you spend your time on. So if you're setting aside time to watch sports or participate in sport, they get the message that that's very important. And again, the way that parents talk about things, about certain sports players as being great heroes or other things, all of that registers with children, and they pick it up as being something that is a crucial part of who we are as a family. And that's really quite important for young children.
Let's contrast those two elements of time. Often we hear from members of Christian congregations that it's a real struggle to get the whole family together and get them off to church for that 1 hour on Sunday morning. How would that be contrasted with the devotion to Athletica?
Well, I think you've really hit at what I was really driving at with this. Is it's not just a critique of what we do spend our time and energy toward in terms of sports, but what we don't actually spend our time and energy towards in terms of our Christian faith. The fact is, if something is truly important to you, you will make it central to your life. And certainly, I understand it's hard to get families ready for Sunday morning or to add on a evening service during Advent or Lent or to have family devotions every day. But if you are absolutely convinced that that is crucial and central to who you are as a family, you'll find a way to set aside the time. And I think that viewing how we do that with sport can kind of convict us a little bit of what we could do in terms of our Christian faith.
In contrast to Athletica's ability to incorporate even the youngest into all of its rituals and ceremonies, how do many Christian congregations deal with the very young?
Well, I think that, sadly, a lot of times children get separated out of the life of the church. There are certainly times when it's appropriate to have special activities just for young children, but when we separate them out for Sunday school, for children's sermons, children's church, children's bulletins, we give them separate things all the time. It's communicating to them that this is not something really for them. They'll have to wait maybe sometime they'll be ready for it. But children love to be part of grown-up things. They strive for that. And so whereas sports, you don't say to young children, well, never mind, you don't have to follow the rules. You teach them the rules. We, I think, as the church, could follow that lead and try to teach children to be a full part of the life of the church rather than separating them out.
You also talk about the physical demands that sports, almost a kind of an asceticism in some cases, when it comes to sports as opposed to that of Christianity. Talk about what it is Athletica demands of its adherents.
Well, obviously, people need to be physically fit for the things that they're doing. And oftentimes, that training requires a lot of what look like pretty meaningless things, you know, repetitious drills and things like that, because they are building towards a goal further down the line. And sometimes it's quite painful. You know, there's an element of suffering that goes into that. But because they're looking forward to an end goal, people are willing to go through this painful, repetitious training.
And it has its own kind of liturgy, its own kind of vestments, if you will. You even say that just casual observers want to modify their dress in the worship rituals of Athletica.
Sure. I think I observed this. I remember a particular moment when I was watching a college football game with, I think it was Tennessee, and I noticed that the people in the stands, they had all dressed so that the whole stadium would appear to be a checkerboard of white and orange squares. And it just struck me that in so many other contexts, you know, people would rebel and say, well, you can't tell me what to wear. You're quashing my self, expression. And here they're voluntarily, you know, wearing certain colors to present this unified look. And, of course, even just people getting ready to watch their favorite team on television, they will put on a jersey or something that shows that they're on the side of their favorite team. And it's something that people do voluntarily because this is an outward sign of what's important to them again. And so I think, again, that sort of ties together there.
How do you account for the popularity of Athletica, that it cuts across socioeconomic boundaries, it cuts across otherwise religious boundaries? How do you account for it?
Well, I don't know if I have a perfect answer to that. I do think that our society in general is tending a little bit towards a hedonistic bent where we seek out pleasure. There's part of us that wants heroes and looks to sports for that, I think. And perhaps also lives vicariously through people that we see having been very successful in sports. I think there's probably a lot of just long-term cultural things, too, where loyalty to sports teams started out as something rather local and then has spread, and it becomes stronger, perhaps, as more people engage in this, that it gives us something in common to talk about, and you kind of feel left out if you aren't part of it.
What is the dark side of Athletica as a religion?
Well, if we think of it as a religion, there's not a lot of hope that it gives. People pour a lot of time and money and physical energy into sports, whether they're watching or participating in it. And what they get from it, not altogether bad, but rather hollow compared to the things that we would want from a religion. So if you're on a sports team, you might get a victory, but that has no eternal consequence. And if you are aiming for a sports scholarship to college, well, your chances of getting that are pretty small. It's something very temporary and doesn't give you lasting rewards or hope for all that you're pouring into it.
One of the points that you make, Heather, is that quite obviously, this religion, Athletica, tends to encroach upon true religion, and that is the Christian faith in terms of time, devotion, the way that people identify with it so openly, and the contrasts there are remarkable. Is that part of the dark side too?
Yes, in a way, I think it is. I certainly had in mind, as I was thinking and writing about this, Martin Luther's explanation of the first commandment, particularly in the Large Catechism, where he points out that the thing, whatever it is, that you put your fear, love, and trust in is your God. And so, you know, in a spiritual sense, yeah, part of the dark side of the fanaticism about sports is that it very easily becomes an idol, and that it's quite distressing. Although perhaps we can use that by seeing the dangers of putting so much of our time and money and suffering and love towards that, it can wake us up to what perhaps we should be putting our time and energy towards instead.
Finally, what can a congregation, a pastor, faithful Christians do to not only highlight this religion that's at work among us, Athletica, but also to recapture much of what it's taken in terms of time and devotion in the lives of Christians?
Well, I do want to point out, I'm not saying that sports are an evil thing in and of themselves, but I think that they provide us a pointed example of, as I said, that idolatry that so easily slips into our lives when something else becomes more important than our Christian faith, than Christ himself. I think that perhaps not everyone is willing to listen to it, but to those that are a little alarmed by this as they see some of these parallels between sports and how it is so much like a religion, it opens the door for us to evaluate our lives. And as I mentioned before, I think one of the key things is for pastors, congregations, but really ultimately at the family level, for people to question, what is it that we orient our lives around? What is the thing that all the rest of our daily schedule may fall apart, but that is going to be there? And it needs to be, obviously, the Word of God, and not just on Sunday morning for an hour, but daily within the home. And I think that idea of really a culture building from the family on up, where these are the things we talk about, our Christian faith, not our sport. This is what we should be talking about with our children from their infancy. That's what it really needs to be to build a true and strong and lasting Christian faith.
Heather Smith is a Lutheran pastor's wife, contributor to the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Inside America's Largest Religious Revival You Know Nothing About. You can read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Heather, thank you very much.
Thank you. Glad to have been here.
When we come back, the church is remembering 6th century Emperor Justinian. That name might sound familiar. We'll see who he was, what he did, and why with Dr. Joel Olowski of Concordia Seminary right after this.
This holiday shopping season, skip the Fruit of the Month Club. Don't fall for any ridiculous as-seen-on-TV offers. Just say no to ugly sweaters. Instead, give your family and friends the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to their mailboxes. Give them the Lutheran Witness magazine. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase subscriptions for Christmas or anytime. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
own thing. You know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon.
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.